The MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gam Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play the fantasy pick'em for a chance to 100 times your money in NBA, MLB, MMA, NHL, golf, and more. Sign up to Underdog Fantasy. Promo code is available at the top of the screen as well. If you're listening to this on YouTube, it is currently available at the exact code of MLBSGPN. Once again, use that promo code to get a 100% deposit match. And welcome, everybody, to the MLB Gambling Podcast here on the Sports Gam Podcast Network. It is currently Tuesday afternoon, April 23rd, roughly 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. I'm Rose for the episode, Scott Reichel, once again joined by Lonte Smith. And together, we're going to talk about the upcoming Wednesday games on the MLB card. Should be a fun overall slate, a lot of games. And we have a lot of baseball, actually, a decent amount of games available in the early to mid-afternoon to keep you busy. But Lonte, how's it going?
Not bad, man. Good to be here with you, Scott. I was saying on Sunday I liked a lot of these series that were kicking off for the week. So, yeah, it's been good so far. Hopefully we can keep it going. Got some interesting matchups here. Tomorrow.
Yep, sounds good. So let's get into it. Starting off with a reminder, by the way, of one of the SGPN sites that's not this, one of the SGPN podcasts, I mean, that's not this one, but it is the featured podcast of the week. The NFL Draft is this week, and the Sports Gam Podcast has you covered with all of their NFL Draft props, mock drafts, and their NFL Draft Watch Party. Tune in Thursday night on the Sports Gam Podcast YouTube page to hang out with the guys for the best NFL Draft Watch Party out there. To be honest, I'm not going to be able to attend. I'll be busy with some holiday stuff. Lonte, you going to be assigned to a team?
I think so. I think I sent Kramer a message earlier. So, yeah, I'll be there. I'll be there.
Sounds good. So, find Lonte and basically the entire network covering the overall draft. You excited for the draft, or you don't really care much one way or another every year?
Yeah, I'm not really a big NFL draft guy, more NBA draft guy, because I get more information through NBA than NFL, but I still bet it, do okay with it, but it's just a lot of different moving parts for NFL, which I think can be like tricky for betting. I mean, a couple of trades and you're like, if you made a lot of bets, one or two trades, and it could like mess up your whole night, regardless of if your information or whatever was correct. So.
Definitely true. It is also worth mentioning the draft party will only be for one round. It is not going to be for the seven rounds. So just keep that in mind. But anyway, time to actually get into the card for Wednesday. Going to start off with the earliest game on the card, which will be between the Diamondbacks and the Cardinals. The Diamondbacks are a slight favorite around minus 120. Cardinals are about even money. As for the actual total in this matchup, total can be found at around 8, a flat 8. For the pitching matchup, you have Montgomery taking on Gibson. We know Gibson overall this season has not been great. Montgomery's been okay, even though he did join the Diamondbacks late and even fired his agent Scott Boras because of it. Both teams, though, not exactly playing good baseball. Arizona, the defending runner-ups, are 11-13, while the Cardinals are 10-13. I'm going to ask you, Lonte. Diamondbacks, I do think, are the better team on paper. Does it surprise you the line is this close?
Yeah, it does. It actually surprises me that they're dog tonight in the game. I think they're like plus 130 tonight. So, yeah, it does surprise me. I mean, the Cardinals have zero offense. I mean, they can't produce any offense at all. They got out of last night, they got out of a couple of jams, if I'm not mistaken. I think Lynn had the bases loaded maybe twice or maybe once and then two on, and he kind of got out of it unscathed, maybe giving up a run within that stretch. So I don't think they'll be lucky enough in the next few games. Especially with Arizona's offense. I mean, they've been up and down for the past few weeks, but I don't know if Gibson is that guy to kind of shut them down. I mean, 4-plus earned runs in two of his four starts. He allowed 4 on 6 hits to Arizona a few weeks ago. Also has been having some control issues, 7 walks in those last two starts. But it comes down to me. I mean, Montgomery looked good in his return. Montgomery is still going, right?
Yeah, that's what I see right now.
Yeah, okay, cool. Because I know a lot of these pitchers be changing, and I did these notes like way earlier, so I just wanted to make sure. He looked good in his return. I mean, you know, 1 hit on 6-inning pitches, only on 6 innings pitched, only 4 hits allowed. So I trust the Arizona offense, and I trust Montgomery over Gibson. Pretty simple handicap for me. I don't think St. Louis has enough. I don't think they have enough offense. I mean, bottom 5 in majority of the key metrics, 25th in runs per game. I don't know if they'll be able to hit Montgomery. I mean, they're hitting 200 versus lefties this year. I just don't trust their offense, Scott. But give me the better offense with the better pitcher. I'll take Arizona.
Yeah, I think I'm going to lean to Arizona as well. I'll probably take the first five. You're looking at the Cardinals. You mentioned as your last point that this team just can't hit lefties, just simply put. And I do think you're looking at a spot where Arizona's been a team that's been overvalued for most of the year. And yeah, I do think that the odds makers are starting to realize that this Arizona team so far has been average. But I do think the Cardinals are not a great team. We saw them get swept by the Brewers over the weekend. And Gibson was good his last time out, but I think we all know that Gibson isn't a pitcher that you can actually trust on a regular basis. I don't really trust Arizona's bullpen, though. So I do think we're going to be looking at a spot where Gibson might fall behind early. Maybe Arizona jumps them and they lead like 3-1 or something after five. And then we'll move on to the actual bullpens where maybe Arizona blows it. McFly, we're talking about tomorrow's games. For the Tuesday episode, we preview the Wednesday games. So just keep that in mind. I know that a lot of these games have not started for the Tuesday actual slate, but we're focusing on the Wednesday slate. Anything else you want to add for this game, or you want to move on?
I'm good. I like the under as well. I mean, like I said, I don't think that Arizona's been playing to the under lately. I know they got an explosive offense. 7 of the last 10 went under. I think both of us, if I'm reading your handicap correctly, don't trust the offense of the Cardinals to get it done. I think like 70 or 68% of their games have went under. So I like the under as well. Maybe even a first five under, since you like their first five.
Moving on to the next game, we're going to look at a matchup between the Mets and the Giants. For this one, you're looking at Manaea taking on Snell. Damn, the Giants probably regret giving Snell that money. Anyway, looking at the actual price, Giants are minus 130. The Mets are plus 110. The over-under is set at around 7.5. I do see an 8, though, available on DraftKings. Games taking place at around 3:45 p.m. Eastern time. The Mets sucked to start the year. Then they remembered how to play baseball. They've actually been pretty good for the last week or two. Giants, though, are kind of in the same spot they've been in for the last couple years, just purgatory. They're not terrible, so they don't bottom out, but they're not good enough to actually like be over 500. They're kind of in no man's land. Snell, though, has been absolutely terrible. 0-3, 11.57 ERA. Why are the Giants favored in this game?
Yeah, I mean, your guess is as good as mine, man. I can't figure out the Giants at all, and I can't figure out the Mets. So I'm just going to lean with the over. I think that the way both of these pitchers have been going, I think we can see some runs. Especially you saw a 7.
I see a 7 at one book, and I see an 8 at another. So there's a lot of room for leeway in the total.
Yeah. So yeah, if we can get that 7, anything under an 8, I think that we can get over that number. I just like I said, I'm staying away from both sides. Both teams, they do hit lefties well. The Mets, like you mentioned, I've always been thoroughly impressed with them. Their bullpen have been lights out, allowing like under 200 batting average allowed. They play good on the road, but I just can't trust them at all on the road, even though Manaea's been good. He shut down the Dodgers and Cincinnati, both on the road. So, I mean, this is not near the offense that both of those are. And I just can't trust San Francisco right now. Their bullpen ERA is north of 5. So if they can get to Snell early, like you mentioned, I mean, I don't know if they'll be able to withstand. So I'm just going to go over, thinking that we get a lot of runs. And if I had to lean to a side, I would just lean with the Mets.
Yeah, I think my favorite play in this game is the Mets. Manaea's been okay. Nothing really to write home about, but he's been good enough, I suppose. But you're looking at Snell, who's been terrible. So, yeah, I'll back the Mets, who have found themselves over 500 at plus money, which I think is a good deal. Moving on to the next game, you have a matchup between the Orioles and the Angels. For this one, you have Dean Kramer on the mound taking on Tyler Anderson, and the Orioles are favored, about minus 120. Angels are around even money. For the total in this game, you have 9, a flat 9 available. Kramer's been mediocre, I guess. I mean, he's 0-2, as he's an ERA of 4.91. Anderson, though, has been really good. He has a 1.42 ERA, but he has a 2-2 record, which tells you he gets no run support at all. So I'll ask you, Baltimore's obviously favored because of the better team, just on paper, but I think we'd agree the Angels have the better starting pitcher based on current form. How do you like the Orioles at minus 120? Do you like it? Do you think they should be potentially a dog in this matchup? What do you like?
Yeah, I think it's probably appropriately priced. I think the Baltimore on the road, their record kind of is why they're sitting how they are. The offense has been rolling as well. I mean, they're hitting 290 averaging almost 6 runs per 9 on 10 hits. So they're hitting the ball really well. And I think their dominance of the Halos, they won 8 of their last 10, including last night, winning. They also hit lefties well, 260 versus lefties. And I think Tyler Anderson, you know, I think Tyler Anderson is – he's pretty good. He's been lights out in 4 starts, only allowed more than one run once, no more than 4 hits allowed. So he's not even allowing a lot of contact. The thing that troubles me with taking the Halos is just their offense. It's been horrible. 2 runs or less in 3 of the last 5. They're on this 5-game losing streak, but I do think they can get right against Kramer here. So I'm going to go with the Halos at home, Scott. Kramer has allowed 3 home runs in his last 2 starts, 9 earned runs in his last 2 combined. Versus allowing just 3 in his first 2. So I think the Halos offense can maybe get going here. And I think if Anderson can just do enough to kind of limit them to maybe 3 runs, 2 or 3 runs, and we can get Mike Trout to hit a, you know, 2-run bomb, I think they can get over the hump with Anderson on the mound.
A 2-run bomb? You think somebody's going to be on base when he hits the home run?
Kramer will walk somebody.
Okay. Just saying, that's a bit of a hot take there.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to take the under in this game. Kramer's not been great this season, but his road numbers are actually better than his home numbers. He's in line to pitch decently. It's most of the fact the Angels can't hit. Anderson's been good, as you said before. I don't know if you factor in run support as being just a fluke narrative, because I don't know how you control it, or just some pitchers, you know, get good run support, some don't. Yeah. Kind of different philosophies around it, but Anderson just has not gotten run support this season, which is why his record is not great. I don't mind the under in this game. 9 just feels high to me. I think Anderson can pitch pretty well, and I think Kramer can do enough against an offense that you said before is not exactly that good with the Angels. And now Rendon, I know, has got injured again. What else is new? He gets injured right every year. But now he's probably going to be out for, I don't know, a week or two. I'm assuming that he is going to end up on the IL. I didn't actually see that, but I saw that he got injured. So we'll see what happens. But point is, I do like the under in this game. I think 9 is a little bit too high. Moving on to the next game on the slate, we actually have a game with no listed pitcher, but we'll talk about it anyway, and you have no lines. So we'll briefly mention it in passing, but you have the Red Sox taking on the Guardians. For this one, you have nobody pitching for Boston, and you have Carrasco pitching for the Guardians. Guardians been one of the hottest teams in the league. They're 16-6, despite really having nobody that you might like in their lineup, besides
or name.
And what?
Or name anybody in their lineup.
Well, you got Naylor and you got Kwan. Those are the two main guys people can name, but yeah, they have Fry, a couple other guys who've been okay, but you get my point. Not many household names, but they're getting the job done. And the Red Sox have been quietly pretty good. They're 13-10. They're 10-3 on the road. I don't know who's going to be favored in this game. It's probably going to be close no matter what, maybe -120, even money for one side, but I was just ask you, without knowing who's pitching for Boston, do you want to go against the Guardians? Do you want to, like, is there anything you actually like in this game potentially?
I won't go against the Guardians. Not the way they're playing now. They actually outscored Boston 21-13 last week. They won the series 3-1, if I'm not mistaken. And their offense had been rolling 5+ runs in their 4-game winning streak. They're 6-3 at home. I know Boston's good on the road, but I mean, I just can't go against Cleveland. Cleveland's even covering 6 of the 9 run lines at home. So they're 6-3 on the run line at home. You know, it's all predicated on pitching, of course. So it's hard to say, but I know for sure I won't be on Boston at all. It's either home team or nothing for me.
Yeah, I think the one thing scaring me off from Cleveland might be PTSD from Carrasco last year, who was just atrocious with the Mets. And I'm wondering how he's going to look. He's been okay this season. He's given up less than 3 earned and 3 straight. So he's only made 1 home start, though. So we'll see how he looks at home once again. Yeah, tough to really bet on it without knowing he's pitching for Boston. Maybe you might lean to an under. It might seem like the type of game that might end, like, I don't even know, 4-3, something like that, a close game, 3-2 somewhere around there. Yeah, can't really bet it, though, without knowing he's pitching for Boston. And honestly, even if I did know he's pitching for Boston, I don't know if I actually want to bet this game. This game just seems like it's going to be kind of very close throughout, that might come down to the wire. So moving on to the next game, back to games that actually have lines on them. Just looking at the next matchup, you have the Phillies taking on the Reds. The Phillies are currently around at a pick 'em, a give or take, -110 apiece against the Reds. You have Turnbull going up against Lodolo. Both pitchers have been really, really good this season. The total, though, is between 9 and 8.5. I'll ask you right now, you have Turnbull, who's 2-0 with a 1.23 ERA, and you have Lodolo, who is 2-0 with a 0.75 ERA. Not much separating the pitchers, but I think we'd agree Philly's the better team. So I'll ask you, which side do you like? Is it to pick them?
Yeah, it's tough. I think it's like appropriately priced. It took me a while to come through with anything on this, Scott. Man, I mean, I like both pitchers. You mentioned Turnbull and Lodolo. Turnbull, 3 earned runs in 4 starts. He hasn't even allowed more than 4 hits in any of his starts, 6 plus Ks in 3 of his 4 starts. But this is his second road start, so maybe that has, you know, maybe you can lean that way if you're liking Cincinnati. Lodolo, 1 earned run combined in his 2 starts. His K to walk ratio is 16-1, so I mean, doesn't get much better than that. My issue with Cincinnati is much like it's been since last year. Like, they can't, like, if their offense, I mean, it sounds like simple, but if their offense isn't going, like, they just can't win. Whereas most teams, like, you know, a Cleveland or I would even say Milwaukee of the past, not now this year because they're hitting the ball well, they find a way to win games, you know, 2-1, 3-2. Whereas Cincinnati seems to be on the losing end of those games more so than not. So if they can't score, you know, 5 or 6 runs, then they're most likely going to lose. So that's my main problem with Cincinnati, which is why it's hard for me to trust them, especially against a good team like Philly. The last 2 meetings for these teams did go under, and I'm leaning that way with these 2 pitchers. So I'm going to go under, Scott. If I had to make a price, if I had to make a play on the side, probably go with Philly on the road. But I think it's appropriately priced. Both of these pitchers really good. I think I trust Philly's offense more than I do Cincinnati's, though.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting matchup. I think that the big surprise for the Reds so far this season, the bullpen has not been an absolute gas can. It has not been great, but it's like middle of the road.
Yeah.
Do you know which team has the worst bullpen ERA in the league?
If I had to guess, it would be Texas.
No, you got to think of the game we're talking about. It's Philly.
Oh, it is Philly. Oh, okay.
Philly has the worst bullpen in the league. So,
man, Texas's bullpen is bad, though, man.
Texas bullpen is in the bottom 10. I think it's like 9th worst. But
yeah,
the point is, Philly's bullpen has been a serious problem so far. And I do think if we're expecting a close game, a low scoring game, I like the first 5 under. Take the bullpens out of the equation. Yeah. Just give me Turnbull versus Lodolo, and we'll see what happens. So
right.
I don't mind the first 5 under, which might even be a 5, because you're looking at a total of 9. So you might end up getting a juice 5.
Yeah.
So I don't mind that. But I do think I'm going to lean to the Reds. If I'm picking a spot where this game's going to be close and maybe it comes down to 1 mistake, I'll actually have more faith in the Reds' bullpen than the Phillies' bullpen, because worst bullpen in the league is not something I want to bank on in a close game in a hitter's friendly ballpark against the Reds lineup. So I'm going to lean Reds, but I think my main play would be first 5 under, potentially at 5. I think I'll just back the 2 great pitchers based on current form and ignore everything else. You have any thoughts?
Yeah, I'll take 4.5 even. Like I said, I think we can see a 1-1, 1-0 type of game either way. But what's the did you see the guy that was filling in for Bryce hit like a bomb last night? I forgot his name.
They had an absolute tank job. Yeah. I think they'd rather have Harper in there.
I'm sure. I'm just saying, I thought that was really like dope that his first game in, he hits a fucking bomb, which is crazy.
Yeah, and Jackson Holliday can't touch a ball. So, you know.
Yeah, he wasn't even in the lineup yesterday. That's weird.
That doesn't surprise me either. My point is sometimes you call guys up and they immediately hit bombs, and sometimes they're batting about, I don't know, point like
60.
You know what I'm they're putting below 100. It's not for everybody to be immediately called up and expect results, but yeah, I saw that Philly's a Harper replacement yesterday hit an absolute nuke, but we'll see how he does moving forward. Harper, I'm guessing, will be back in the lineup, right? He's not on the IL or anything. He just had the day off, right?
Yeah, maternity leave.
Yeah, so I'm
or paternity leave, however you say it.
Yeah. He should be back
his
in
wife,
the lineup.
Yeah, his wife had a baby,
A
couple games.
Congrats to Harper. And congrats to the backup who got playing time because Harper had a kid. But anyway, moving on to the actual next game, we're going to do one more game and take a quick break. Looking at a matchup with no lines, we have the Brewers taking on the Pirates. 2 of the bigger surprises, I'd say Pittsburgh was the surprise about 2 weeks ago. Then they kind of fell apart. But Milwaukee's been cruising. But you're looking at the overall lines, we don't have any. I don't really know why we don't have lines in this game. I see pitchers. But either way, you have Wilson taking on Priester. Wilson 2-0, 3.29 ERA. Priester is awful. He's 0-1, 8.31 ERA. He was terrible last year, too. I'm not really going to spend any time on this. I'm just going to take Milwaukee, but I don't know why there's no lines. I don't know if something happened to one of these pitchers or there was like a last second scratch. I didn't see anything, but I have pitchers and I don't have lines. But
yeah, so Milwaukee. I think what happened was I had Peralta going from Milwaukee.
Okay.
Earlier in the day. So maybe they like kind of switched him up because, yeah, I had him going against Priester. But yeah, that might have been what
I'll
that might have been
be
what it was.
Priester anyway.
Yeah, absolutely, sure. Absolutely. Yeah, so. I'm a Milwaukee Brewers fan, man. I think I bet on them every time I'm on a podcast.
Seems good, and they win games, and they get good prices.
And their offense offense is good, man. 9-4 on the run line on the road.
Yeah, 14-7 straight up, 10-3 straight up on the road.
Yes,
they
sir.
Travel well. Pittsburgh's barely above 500. They probably won't be for that much longer.
Yeah, hitting 200. Yeah. They're hitting 200 in their last 10. Pittsburgh is.
That doesn't surprise me. I mean, you look at the lineup, and they don't have any guys worth a damn.
Yep.
I know O'Neal Cruz is a very hyped-up prospect who I think is fine. I know he's young. I think he's got a long way to go in his actual development, but he's being heralded as this superstar. But he basically missed all of last year because he got injured. So he's kind of making up some lost time in his development. But even if you want to ignore Cruz, they have Brian Reynolds, who's been on the trade block for a couple years. I know he signed a contract extension a couple years ago. He's fine, I guess. Sawinski's average is terrible every year, but I guess he's okay. What do they have in this lineup? Well, you mentioned how bad the lineup is. They don't really have anybody that's reliable.
Yeah, I mean, they got off to that hot start, and then it's kind of leveled out. So, yeah, I mean, they're probably going to have to make some moves. I mean, I know we're not even halfway or even a third of the way through the season, but
you can tell the offense isn't gonna cut it.
Right.
I mean, you're using Connor Joe in your cleanup spot half the time. Like your lineup's not good enough.
Right. So yeah, you're gonna have to move around. Got to get some consistency out of Cruz. I think McCutcheon's probably the best bat they got in the lineup.
Problem. That's a problem.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, like
that's a problem.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So. Yeah, they got to do some either bringing up some of those young guys and just like, you know, playing Russian roulette, seeing which one of them hits, or they got to go out and get some guys, maybe both.
Could be, but once again, O'Neal Cruz was kind of given the, I don't want to say the team to carry, but he's 25 years old, top prospect, missed basically all of last year. He's batting .233, 3 home runs, 8 RBIs, but he struck out 37 times.
Yeah, he's going to strike out. Yeah.
In 23 games. That strikes out a ton.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
I'm trying to think if there's anything that's really, I'd say, positive for O'Neal Cruz right now. He played 2 games in 2021. It's 2 games. He had 3 hits. Like, I'm not going to overreact to that. His one somewhat full season, I should say half season, because they called him up mid-season, was 87 games. He had an on-base percentage of .394. Last year, he played 9 games. He played well, but that doesn't matter. And this year, he has an OBP of .281. I feel like he's extremely overrated. I just got to throw it out there. I know he's had injuries. I know that he's got a long way to go because he has not spent even a full year, if you combined all his time together, in the majors. But his OBP has never been above .300 in a season that he's played more than 10 games in. I feel like, once again, his chase rate's abysmal. He doesn't really work counts well. I'm not saying he should be demoted at some point, but you got to at least read the room and realize he got a long way to go.
Yeah, he does. I think, and it has a lot to do with what's around him. I mean, he's just like, you know, he's all over the place. No plate discipline at all. Like you mentioned,
no, he strikes out like all the time.
Yeah. So. I mean, and you could tell by that and it's not that he's striking out on like good pitches. Like he'll swing at something in the dirt.
Yeah,
up high.
It's not Javi Baez bad, but it's like a distant cousin of Javi Baez.
Yeah. So, and I mean, I think you know, give him a few years, like a year, because
I'm not totally trying to throw him last year. I'm just asking though, if you're the Pirates and you probably have nothing to play for in the summer months, do you just leave O'Neal out there? Do you potentially demote him? I don't know if you can demote your franchise player, but damn man, your OBP is not even .300.
Yeah, I don't think you can demote him. Just got to kind of let him just fight through it, I guess.
Gotta let him figure it out. But
yeah, you got to let him figure it out.
I don't think he's going to get better anytime soon.
Yeah, got to let him figure it out.
That's kind of my point. So O'Neal Cruz over 1.5 strikeouts in some games, probably worth something. Maybe not this one.
Depending on who they're pitching. Yeah, depending on who they're pitching.
Yeah, I'm assuming you'll agree, though. Milwaukee's probably the move. I'm assuming they won't be that big of a favorite because the Brewers are a bunch of unknowns. It's kind of like a major league movie, or they just have a bunch of guys thrown together and they're winning games. So
Christian Yelich,
and the team. Yeah. I'll take Milwaukee.
Yeah. You? With you. With you. I'm with you.
Priester might actually get demoted, by the way. I don't think he's a major league pitcher, but that's a separate story. I don't know if you think I'm being harsh or not, but I'm just not a Priester.
I haven't seen a lot of him this year. What do I have his numbers at? Didn't he get lit up his last start?
He gets lit up every start. But yeah, I mean, his ERA is 8.31, his whip's 1.85. If you want to even dive into his numbers last year, 8 starts, 10 appearances, a 7.784 ERA. His career, he has a 7.79 ERA. Probably going to get demoted at some point. Just saying. Probably going to have to figure it out again in the minors.
Yeah, he might. He allowed 3 home runs in his last start, too. So might be looking at some home run props for the Brew Crew.
Yeah, talked a lot about a game that has no lines, but I think we agree we're going to take the Brewers whenever the lines do get posted, assuming they're below 150, probably.
Yeah, so, I'll take anything below 170, I'll be on them.
Before we get into any of the other games on the slate, do want to remind everybody that we are brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy is a phenomenal place to play fantasy sports, and for the NBA playoffs, our sponsor, Underdog Fantasy, wants to make it a lot more interesting because they have a great pick'em game, which is as simple as selecting higher or lower on player stats like points, rebounds, and assists, and so much more. Make entries of all basketball or mix and match. They also have baseball, which is why we're talking about it. You can win up to 100 times your money, and it's a lot of fun. Underdog's available in 30-plus states, including California, Texas, and even Canada. They also have a lot of great baseball lines. They have anything you could think of, really. Bases, home runs, they have hits, runs, RBIs, really just endless amount of choices, strikeouts for pitchers, stuff like that. And new customers can get a pick'em special in the lobby when they sign up. Underdog's also running a ton of different promos, bonus cash airdrops, specials, giveaways, and more throughout the NBA playoffs. So make sure to follow at Underdog Picks on Twitter. That's at Underdog Picks on Twitter to keep an eye out. Underdog is available in 30-plus states, including California, Texas, and Canada. They just launched Champions, their player-versus-player format in Florida. Make sure you sign up with code MLBSGPN. Underdog will double your first deposit of $100. So Underdog Fantasy, promo code MLBSGPN. Welcome back, everyone, to the MLB Gambling Podcast. Just finished covering a couple of games for the Wednesday slate. Now it's time to move on to the next game on the card. Going to look at a matchup between, where do we want to go for this next one? We're going to go to Washington. Going to look at a matchup between the Dodgers and the Nationals. No shock, the Dodgers are a massive favorite as you're looking at the Dodgers being around minus 190. The Nationals are around plus 160. For the over-under, you see the Dodgers and the Nationals being set at around 9.5. It opened up at 9, though. Now it's up to 9.5. You have Knack versus Irvin. Irvin's actually been okay this season stats-wise, 3.13 ERA. Knack's been okay, too, relative unknown, 3.6 ERA. Nationals are not good, but not terrible. They're 10-11. Dodgers have been okay. Definitely underwhelming based on where they are projected at 13-11. Lante, I don't know if you can really find value in the Dodgers ever besides taking either a team total or a run line. The Nationals, though, have been feisty. So I'll ask you, do you want the Dodgers run line or do you want to back Irvin in the Nationals?
Yes, so I'll take the Dodgers team total over. Irvin did shut them down in his last start. He threw 6 scoreless. I think the Dodgers are bounced back. They actually offensively have been better on the road. They haven't been good at home, which is surprising, but they've been really good on the road. I think that, you know, seeing him the second time is to their advantage. He has been pitching better on the road, Irvin, that is. He allowed 4 earned runs in his lone home start. So I think the Dodgers can get – I'm assuming it'll be 5.5 juiced over. Yeah. I think if you want to – as long as it's not too juiced, or you want to take a 6, I think the Dodgers can put up maybe double digits here. So give me the Dodgers team total to go over. I mean, like you said, it's not much to take – I mean, it's not much to – handicap when you're facing the Dodgers when they're facing a team like Washington, unless you're taking a dog. So it's either, like you said, team total or run line if it's a reasonable price. But yeah,
I'm also going to throw out that Knack actually did pitch against the Nationals and he was decent, 5 innings, 2 runs. Dodgers were on the verge of potentially getting swept by the Mets and they won 10-0. Otani hit a ball that didn't land yet, so maybe the offense got going because they scored 10 runs in that game. I think it was 8 runs in the 5th inning. of that game, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
The point is, the Dodgers maybe offensively found something against the Mets in that last game, hopefully for their sake. I'll take Dodgers' run line as well. I think Irvin is okay, but I do think that Knack can be good enough to pitch decently, and I think the Dodgers are once again going to potentially do well against Irvin the second time they face him in about a week. So I'm with you. I'll be on the Nationals fade train for this matchup. I'll lean to the Dodgers run line, maybe the team total over as well. 9 guaranteed at bats being the road team, so I do think they're in line to maybe score 6 or 7 in this matchup. Moving on to the next game, going to look at a matchup between where do I want to go next? We'll go to Tampa as the Tigers are coming to town to face the Rays. You see the Rays is a slight favorite around minus 115. The Tigers are around minus 105. Pitching matchup, though, you have Flaherty taking on Alexander. And for the total in this game, probably not the highest totals because it involves Tampa and Detroit. A total for this game is set at, I want to say 7.5 or 8, but let me just check. Set at 8 flat, juice of the over, actually, so you can find even money on the under. Flaherty and Alexander have numbers that are kind of comparable, not the greatest, but not absolutely terrible. I'm going to lean under in this game. I just don't trust either offense. Detroit, we know, is not exactly the deepest lineup, let's put it that way. You're looking at Tampa, who has a bunch of okay players kind of scattered throughout the lineup, and nobody that's really dominant, per se. Rosarena has not been great this year. You can go down the line. They don't have any superstars, true superstars on the roster, but they have some guys who can get hot at any moment. I'm on the under. That's kind of my main lean here. I don't see much on the side. I guess I'd blindly lean Tampa because they're so good in Tropicana every year, but I'm going to lean under in this game. I think 8's a bit high.
Yeah, I like the under as well. I'm going to lean to the other side on Detroit. I think Detroit is really good on the road, 9-3. On the road, they've scored 5-plus runs and 4 of the last 5, 7-5 on the run line on the road. The thing with Flaherty is he's been really good, but he does allow a solid amount of contact. He's a lot of home run in every one of his starts. But if you contrast that, he's had 7-plus Ks in 3 of his 4 starts. He has 18 in his last 2. And the way Tampa's not been hitting the ball, I think we can rely on him to go over that K-prop and keep Detroit in the game. I'm just worried about the offense of Detroit, especially against Alexander, who only allowed 2 earned runs combined in his 2 starts. But he has allowed a lot of contact as well. But you mentioned the Rays being good at Trop, but you know this year kind of underwhelming. They're a game under 500. Their offense is up and down. They've lost 6 of the last 10. 2 earned runs or less in 3 of the last 5. So pretty underwhelming, like you mentioned at the top. But I think I'm going to go with Detroit here, man. I'm going to go with Flaherty. I think we got a better pitcher. I think Detroit, young and hungry team, do love the under with you, though. So I'm going to go Detroit and under.
Yeah, Detroit is a 9-3 on the road. Tampa's not been great at the Trop this year, but just historically speaking.
I know what you meant.
Yeah. I assume they're usually going to finish 10 over at Trop. They seem to always do. So we'll see what happens moving forward. But I'm also biased because I'm not a Flaherty guy. I think his command is up and down a lot. He pitches the contact, as you said before. So does Alexander. But I think Tampa can work some counts potentially. We'll see. But I'm going to lean under as my main play in this matchup. Moving on to the next game, we're going to look at a matchup between the Marlins and the Braves. I don't have a line on this matchup. We're going to talk about it anyway. You have undecided against Ronaldo Lopez, who I don't think is really that good, but he's been incredible this year. 2.05 ERA. Braves have been good. They were unable to complete the sweep against the Rangers. They lost on Sunday night, but they're 15-6. The Marlins are 6-18. They are still a really bad baseball team, but you're looking at the Braves probably laying a massive number here because the Marlins are the Marlins and the Braves are the Braves. So the question is, do you want Braves run line or do you want the Marlins run line? It's basically the Dodgers game all over again, but your price is probably going to be better because the Braves are at home. So I like the Braves run line in this game. They kind of own this team. I know they kind of struggled a bit earlier against Miami. Ozuna had that 2-out top 9 3-run homer to win one of those games. But I think you're looking at a spot where the Braves are playing better baseball. Ronaldo's been good. I'll back him based on current form. I'll take the Braves run line in this game.
Yeah, similar handicap with the, as you mentioned, with the Dodgers. I mean, if you're going to do anything, it's either fade the Braves, take them on the run line if it's under, 120, or if you like them, and if you like them that much.
Actually, it might be, because they're the home team here, so it actually might
So they can only get 8 at bat. Yeah, that's true. But I agree. I mean, that's the only way you can play him. And Lopez, you mentioned he's been lights out, but it's not much. I mean, either you take the Braves team total, or you lay the 1.5. If you feel really spicy about it, you lay the 2.5 and get the plus price, and that might even be small plus price, just the way they're playing, especially being at home. But yeah, Braves are nothing for me, Scott. I don't really have a lot here.
Yeah, I think the run line will be quite bettable at a price, just because of the home team, which should help out. So nothing else to add on that one. We have no lines, but you know the Braves are going to be favored by a ton. Going back, though, to talk about the A's and the Yankees, assuming that Boone does not get ejected in this game, the Yankees are -225. Oakland is around +190. You have Boyle taking on Schmidt. And for the total in this matchup, you have the over-under set at 8.5. The Yankees have been solid this season, but offensively they have not been good lately, and they got shut out yesterday on Monday against the A's in that day game. JP Sears looked like Barry Zito in that A's outfit in the last game, because damn, they couldn't hit him. But either way, point is, the Yankees offense has not been good. Doyle, though, has been terrible. 7.23 ERA, 1-3 record. Schmidt's been okay, actually. 1-0, 3.15 ERA. The question is, do you want to potentially take the Yankees run line with a team that can't hit?
Yeah, I think I'm going to take the team total. I thought this is a get right spot for that offense. I mean, they've been, like you said, man, just inconsistent. It's frustrating because they were playing well to start. I mean, you started off, you know, with a bang with the sweep of the Astros to begin the season. You win some games that typically we see. I know me and you both as Yankee fans that we're not used to them winning. And you know, you get kind of excited, and then, you know, the offense returns home and they just forget how to hit for whatever reason. But I think it's a get right spot for him. Boyle allowed 7 in his last start. He does have some walk issues, so if the Yankees can be patient at the plate, I think they'll get guys on to be able to bring him in. But Schmidt, like you mentioned, he's been good. 2 earned runs or less in his last 3 starts, 7 Ks in back-to-back games. So I think Schmidt is primed for a good outing. I think the offense is primed for a good outing. So I will take that run line, but I'm more interested in that team total for the Yankees going over.
Yeah, I think it is a good get-right spot, but I had to at least mention the fact the Yankees have been shut out in 2 of their last 3 games at home.
Pitiful.
So I wanted to mention that, but the Yankees have played 7 series this season. They've won 6 of 7. So if you do think that the trend continues, then bet the Yankees the rest of the series, because that means they're probably going to win out in the series. But the point is, the Yankees have not – I've only lost 1 series, and it was against Toronto. In a series they should have been swept, and the Yankees had that comeback in the 9th where Judge had that 2-run single there with 2 outs. But the point is, I think for the sake of this matchup, it is a 4-game set, but you're looking at potentially a good spot for the Yankees to beat up on a pretty weak pitcher. I'm with you. I think it should be a decent price. I don't mind the Yankees run line. I don't mind the maybe the A's team total under in this game. Maybe if you want to go for the full game under in this game, because the Yankees can't hit. But yeah, I think the Yankees bounce back, and they'll probably win the game by, I'd say, I don't know, maybe 5-1.
Yeah.
Something like that. 5-2, give or take. So yeah.
Hopefully they
get 6. Give me the Yankees run line, and I am going to go with the under. To mention, though, the actual – I mean, total is at 8.5. That does feel a bit high to me based on the current Yankees form offensively. Run line's around -102. So I think it's a good price. I'll go with the Yankees run line in that one as well. Moving on to the next game. You have a matchup between the White Sox and the Twins. I'm going to spoil it right now. I don't know how you could possibly bet the White Sox at this point in the season, because they're one of the worst teams I've ever seen. But going through the actual lines here, you have the Twins at around -200. You have the White Sox at +170. Ryan's taking on Crochet. You're looking at Ryan, 0-1, 3.57 ERA. Crochet started off the year well, then he hit a wall. A 1-3 record with a 5.61 ERA. I believe the White Sox set an MLB record last game. They became the only team in MLB history to be shut out 8 times in their team's first 22 games. That's almost impossible. I don't know how you get shut out 8 times in 22 games if the White Sox found a way. Can you take the White Sox? I mean, the Twins aren't very good. The funny part is going to be picking who's going to make the All-Star team from this White Sox team in a couple of months. But this team is one of the worst teams ever assembled. They're on pace to lose about 140 games. I said they were going to walk into 120 losses after about a week. They're going to lose 120 games.
Yeah, they're going to run into 120.
Yeah, you want to make a case for the White Sox, you're just going to take the Twins.
Yeah, man, I can't do anything but take the Twins. Run line, team total, that's it. I mean, you just with a number this big, maybe throw them in, maybe you want to throw them in a parlay with one of the smaller favorites that we'd like, maybe or even throw them in a parlay with the Yankees. I think that's a good parlay. That should pay, should get you close to even money, if I'm not mistaken, a little bit over. So that's the only way I would play it. The White Sox are horrible, man. They're just horrible.
They are an all-time bad baseball team. We thought the A's last year were all-time. The White Sox
might be worse. Oh, no, this is worse. This is worse.
We'll see what happens. Now,
this is worse.
They're going to get some guys back from injury at some point, so maybe they won't be this bad the rest of the year. But, I mean, this is an absolute just punt job. This is tanking to the extreme. Going through Crochet's last couple outings, though, 3 innings, 7 runs against the Phillies, 4 2/3, 5 runs against the Reds. Coincidentally, 2 of the shutouts came in Crochet's last 2 starts. They did not score in those 2 games, and he was good his first 3 starts. I think I might actually take a spin with the White Sox here.
Oh, wow.
I might actually do it. It might just first be five? The Twins being probably first 5. I don't trust this bullpen. The lineup sucks. So I think Ryan's okay. He's fine, I guess. But if I'm going to pick anybody on the mound for the White Sox that I want to back, I guess it would be Crochet, despite him getting shelled his last 2 outings. It might just be the Twins laying -200 and they're 8-13. That's kind of the problem I run into.
What's the other pitcher, the rookie that the White Sox had? He was going well for the first few starts and then he got shelled the last few. I was betting on him first 5. I can't remember his name. He might not even be a rookie. It's hard to keep up with.
I'll pull it up, but the point is there's not many guys to actually
White Sox
rotation.
Yeah,
this team is awful. I'm aware of that, but the Twins laying -200, I'm not really sold on. I'm not betting this game. This might be a Gamblers Anonymous special. You know, you bet the game and you potentially go to a meeting. I heard they have coffee and donuts. You're definitely not betting on Soroka.
No. Nope.
Betty's been okay.
It's not him.
Tanner Banks?
No, it's not him.
He has 1 start. Cannon?
Is it Cannon?
Natrizny's been terrible.
I'm trying to figure out.
Natrizny. I don't know who the hell you're talking about.
Yeah, maybe it's not the White Sox. Maybe I'm thinking about something.
Fetty? Soroka sucks. I know you're not talking about Soroka.
Yeah, no, not him.
I got no idea.
It might be Cannon.
Okay, either way. Point is, I'll take a spin with the White Sox. I'm not going to bet this game, though. Go to a meeting if you are thinking about betting this game. Call 1-800-GAMBLER to bet responsibly. Anyway, moving on to the next game. Looking at the Astros taking on the Cubs, you have a matchup between pulling up the actual pitching matchup for this game. You have the Astros using palms are sweaty, Arrigetti. They're using him on the mound. You have Tyone pitching. For the Cubs, totals around 8 for this actual matchup, though. Pulling up the money line. Sorry, I have to jump a couple of pages. The money line, I think the Cubs are favored in this game. From what I remember, yes. Cubs are -115, and you have the Astros at -105. Yeah, maybe Dusty Baker was more important than we thought, because Astros have been terrible. They're 7-16. They're in the basement right now in the AL Central, and you're looking at the Cubs being 13-9. They're my pick to win the division so far. Solid. Can't complain. Palms are sweaty. Arrigetti, though, might have to go to AAA at some point because his ERA is 11 and change. Tyone was fine. Hasn't exactly made many starts this season, but he has a 1.8 ERA. Any part of you want the Astros in this game?
Can't do it. It's Cubs or nothing. Cubs play really well at home. 7-3. Offense has been going. 5-plus in 3 of 5. Arrigetti, I mean, he hasn't made it outside of 4 innings in any start. He got beat up on the road against Kansas City, so he's back on the road again. I'm not sure if we got the weather report about the winds being blown in or whatever, but I would look at Chicago's team total to go over as well. But I think it's a short number here, man. Houston's offense inconsistent; they can't win on the road. 3-7. The bullpen's ERA 5.36, 6 runs per 9. So if Arrigetti can't get going, and he's only going 4 anyway, so you're going to be deep into the bullpen early in the game, I think Chicago can tee off. So give me Chicago, land a short number, and I'll take their team total to go over as well.
Yeah, for reference, by the way, Houston does have the third highest bullpen ERA in the league. Going to the actual numbers, though, for the weather, which I was going to mention before. So since it is in Wrigley, got to mention the wind. You're looking at the wind blowing in about 11 miles per hour, which is why this total is kind of starting to get juiced to the under 8. So you might end up seeing a 7.5 at some point. Arrigetti just still can't really blow it past hitters, just simply put. I just think that he's going to be giving up a decent amount of contact, which does not bode well. Tyone also might pitch to contact, so maybe Houston gets some guys on base. This team's been terrible with guys on base, though. With runners in scoring position, Houston has been unable to generate many big hits this season, in my experience at least. A couple of outlier games, they score a lot of runs, but they have stranded a bunch of guys on base this season, which has been an issue. I'm going to take the Cubs, though. And the line's cheap, much better bullpen, much better team right now based on current form. I get reputation matters, but 7-16, I can't back you at minus 105. That's just a crazy price. Anything else you want to add?
No, I'm agreeing with you. Yeah, I got there until I see something change with the Astros. I can't be on them. Just can't.
All right. Moving on to the next game. You have the exact same prices with the Blue Jays and the Royals. Blue Jays are around minus 115. Royals are around minus 105. Interesting pitching matchup. You have Rodriguez taking on Marsh, two guys that I'm sure most MLB fans wouldn't have thought much about. But this season, they've been good. Marsh is actually 3-0 with a 3.22 ERA. Rodriguez is 0-0, but he has a 2.35 ERA. Total in this game is set at 9. For the matchup itself, though, I'm going to lean to Kansas City. Marsh has been good. They've won his starts, and I do think Kansas City at home is intriguing. They're 9-5 at home. Toronto 7-7 on the road. The pitchers are kind of, I'd say, I don't know if they're trustworthy yet, but Marsh has been more trustworthy to me because he gets a bunch of run support. So I'll go with Marsh here. Give me the Royals at minus 105. The wrong team might be favored here. This might be a flat, like, pick 'em. Or maybe Royals being favored at home, and they're minus 105. So I'll lean to the Royals at minus 105.
Yeah, I struggle with Toronto, man. They're like my well, not you, because I know you don't like the Hawks, but the Hawks, they used to get me every year. Like I used to bet them
to be
over.
Fair, the Hawks are the worst team ATS this year. So
yeah,
you know,
I did not bet them this year, but previous years. I was betting them every year. I bet Toronto every year, and I mean they have their moments, but right now they're looking good. They're in one of those good moments. 7-3 in their last 10. They were really impressive. I mean, they blew a few games versus the Yankees, if I'm not mistaken. So they've won. So out of those 10, they probably could have been like 9-1. But they are pretty good on the road. 9-3 on the run line is a favorite, so they're covering. Run lines. The thing that bothers me is their bullpen. The ERA is like north of 5. And if Rodriguez, he's been like going short. So I'm not sure what they're doing with him. But in his short amount of time on the mound, he's only allowed one run in both of his games. 6+ Ks in both games as well. Kansas City's kind of trending the wrong way for me. Lost 6 of 10. Offense is kind of fluctuating. They're hitting 200 in the last 10.
I don't trust either of these teams. I'm just going by the one. I'm looking at it.
Yeah, so I'm going to go the other way and bet Toronto, but I haven't had success with Toronto, so you might want to bet Kansas City and enjoy your winnings. But Marsh has been good, though. He pitches a lot better at home than he does on the road. 3 earned runs allowed versus 5. He threw 5 2/3 scoreless in his last start. So I don't love it, but I'm going to go with Toronto. They've been a little bit more consistent as of late.
Yeah, full disclosure, I don't think I've bet a Blue Jays game in about a year, and I feel great.
Yeah, man.
I feel fantastic. It was kind of like the Pelicans in the NBA this past season. I just couldn't get a game right to save my life, and at some point you just realize, why do I keep betting these games?
Yeah.
Like, no matter what happens, I'm just wrong. Toronto was a team that I just couldn't stand last year, and I just stopped betting their games, and yeah, my life is a lot more peaceful. So I recommend to all of you, if there's one team that keeps bothering you, there's a lot of games on the card. You don't have to bet one team being involved in a lot of these games. So, Toronto, I'm not going to have any money on this game. And I'm going to feel great about it. But I'm going to lead to Kansas City at a decent price. And that's kind of how I'm looking at this matchup. Moving on to the next game on the slate. We have two games left to talk about. Mariners taking on the Rangers. For this matchup, you have Miller, who's been really good this year, against Gray. Texas slight favorite around minus 125. Seattle's around plus 105. For the actual total in this game, you're looking at 9.5. I do see a 9 available, though, on DraftKings. So you can potentially shop around depending on if you want the over or the under. For this game, though, Texas, I understand why they're favored because they won the World Series last year and because they are the home team. They're only 5-5 at home. Both teams, though, really not great. Seattle's 11-11. Texas is 12-11. But Miller has been nuts. 1.85 ERA has been incredible this year. Yeah, I like Miller at plus money at plus 105. You?
Absolutely. Love them. And Texas is returning home from three straight road series. They were 500 in the last 10, 500 at home. I usually like to fade the teams coming back from long road trips. And you mentioned Gray. He struggled in his first start, but lights out since. He actually had a bull. Their bullpen is so bad that he had to come in relief versus the Braves, I think it was. But their bullpen ERA
might help them out. Maybe got some confidence.
Yeah. So their bullpen ERA is nearly 5. Their bullpen is almost allowing 5 runs per 9. You know, Seattle's kind of they started off shaky, playing a lot better. They won 7 of 10. Offense, you know, kind of got right, but it was in Coors. But you got to take that with you know confidence. At least your offense got going. They've covered 7 of their last 10 run lines, which is something I like to see. Their bullpen is solid. Miller's been really good. 1 earned run combined his last 3. Yeah, he's not even allowing a lot of contact. Only he hasn't allowed more than 3 hits in that span in his last 3 starts. So I think we got the better pitcher here, Scott. Team coming back home, a little relaxed, pay the bills, spend some time with the kids. I think they get overlooked here. Give me Seattle and a better pitcher on plus money.
All right, Lante, we're going to try this again. Which team has the 3rd best bullpen ERA in the league?
Seattle.
That is correct. Well done. So that's kind of the main difference there. I think that if the game's close, I trust Seattle's bullpen more in the later innings. You mentioned how Gray came out of the bullpen in that Braves, one of the Braves games. I mean, Texas won one of those games. It wasn't pretty. I thought they were going to get swept for a bit, but they're not in good form. They're still injured. A lot of guys still on the shelf. And I do think Seattle is not a great team based on their current form, but they were awful to start the year.
Yeah.
They have been better.
Horrible.
Over the last couple
and
weeks.
Yeah, and I had them, like, I got a lot of bets on them for division, like, pennant, everything.
I know a lot of the hosts on this show were pretty high on the Mariners this offseason. I was kind of lukewarm on them because I just don't trust them to actually win big games late in the year. But I do think Seattle has been playing better baseball recently compared to Texas, and you have the better pitcher. So I like Seattle. I like the under, though. I understand it's in Texas, but Miller's on the mound and the total's 9.5. I don't really understand that one. I'll take the under 9.5. Am I missing something?
No, I actually like the under too. I wrote that down. Seattle's under in 8 of the last 10 as well. So, yeah, I'm agreeing with you.
I just don't get that total. But that's actually the last game on the slate we have lines for. We have 1 game left. You have the Padres taking on the Rockies. No lines, no but the Rockies suck, so you know the Padres will be favored. you have a knuckleballer pitching in Coors Field. What can possibly go wrong? As Waldron's pitcher, 4.74 ERA. The Rockies can't hit at home. They can't hit on the road. They can't pitch. Besides that, they're fine. I don't have much to add here. The Rockies are god-awful. I don't think they're going to lose 120. That might be reserve territory for the White Sox. They might lose 110. Damn, this team sucks. Knuckleballer and Coors, though, is pretty intriguing. That is very intriguing. That could result in either 7 home runs or 0. So we don't know what's going to happen in course for the knuckleballer. But, yeah, I don't think I can take the Rockies. I can't even take overs anymore. This team doesn't contribute for anything. So maybe Padres team total over? I don't know. But
their offense hasn't been good either, though. Their offense
I know,
hasn't been good.
Problem. I know what to take in these games. Yeah, the Padres are another team I've not bet their games on.
Yeah, they were 1-1, I think, top of the 6th. With Cease on the mound, like they just
Speaking of White Sox, Cease is out. So damn good for this damn team.
Lights
he might
out.
Be the favorite to win the NL Cy Young right now.
He had a good outing last night. Yeah.
I think his ERA is below 1. He's been that good.
Yeah, it is, and he hasn't been getting a lot of run support. I mean, he got like I think 1 run before he got pulled. He was up 1-0, or maybe it was tied. Maybe I don't know if he got the decision last night. I think the Rockies did tie it up when he was.
I don't remember, but. Yeah, you might have to give the Padres pitching coach a raise because he turned Snell into a Cy Young candidate again, and he might be turning Cease into a Cy Young candidate again. So, both these teams I don't trust at all, but the Rockies are god-awful, and I'm hoping Tatis can maybe launch one 500 feet. The Padres are another team, though, that I have not really backed the sides on, at least backing them for a while. I was fading Musgrove to start the year. I was even fading Darvish. I think Darvish is borderline cooked at this stage in his career. So I was fading them a lot. I was never really backing them that much, but the Rockies are a really bad team. But the knuckleball angle in Coors might be fun. So I don't really have much for this game because we don't have lines and I don't trust either team. So you have anything?
I got nothing. Nothing at all.
All right. Time to get into the actual lock and dog picks for the show. Lonte, I'll let you go first. What is your lock and dog for the episode?
Yes, I'll keep it simple, man. A game that we just went over, I'm going to go with that one for my dog, Seattle. I think that their bullpen is lights out. I think the bats are swinging really well. We mentioned that home team returning home after some tough series, three series back-to-back on the road. I think Miller comes in, shuts them down, and they get a win low-scoring game. So I'm going like 4-2 type of game for Seattle. So that'll be my dog. As for my lock, I'm going with what is something that we both kind of like so we can be on the same page here.
I feel like we kind of saw eye to eye in most of these games.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm gonna go with the Halos. I'm gonna go with Tyler Anderson and the Halos to break that five game lose. Well, depending on what they do tonight, but I think we can get some good runs here from the Angels, which is I know blasphemy, but give me the Halos on the money line at home.
Okay, that was not the angle I thought you were going to take. That's actually even money, so you kind of went two dogs, because they were underdogs in this game.
Yeah.
For my lock on the show, a couple of things I liked. My dog's going to be the Mets. I'm going to fade Snell at plus 110. Gotcha. I think that's an absolute steal, so give me the Mets in good form. For my lock, I thought about the Brewers, who are not on the board, but they're going to be probably at a bettable price just based on reputation. I thought about maybe an under, potentially. You know what? I think I'm going to do that instead. Give me the under 9.5 in that Mariners and Rangers game. 9.5 with Miller on the mound. Even Gray has been decent. Like, I think that line's nuts. Give me the under 9.5. I think Miller can pitch well. I think that Seattle offensively still strikes out a ton. They strike out. I think they lead the league in strikeouts. So they really just don't generate good at-bats. And Julio has not done much this year. There's a lot to be desired with this lineup for Seattle. I think the total's too high, though. Give me the under. 9.5 is my lock. For my dog, once again, meet the Mets. I'll take him at plus 110. They've been good the last 2 weeks. Snell's been terrible. The Giants are not a great baseball team either. I don't know why the Mets are dogs in this game. Anaya's been serviceable. That's good enough for me. So give me the Mets money line at plus 110. You have anything else you want to add, or should we just wrap up the show? I think you muted yourself accidentally. I think your mic's broken, but it's fine because the show. Oh, you're back. What's up?
I got nothing else to add, man. Hopefully, we can get some winners. Been going really good in the MLB, so hoping to keep that going.
Yeah. Also, a reminder: if you want to find Lonte and I, we do the weekend shows for the NBA. Going to be doing more, I'd say, night shows moving forward because we're going to have the lines out a lot earlier, and injury report should be a lot. I'd say more well-known hours and hours before the game. So find us on the NBA show as well. You can find me on tennis, going to do a show later today for Madrid. Besides that, though, find me on Twitter, at Rice Show Radio. Find Lonte, at Lonte. It's three X's, right? XXX?
Two at the front, two at the back, in between Lonte. Yeah. Yep.
So three X's there. But once again, find them on Twitter. And until next time, good luck to all of you and all of your bets. Bye, everyone.